Hello, hello, hello. Today, before we begin, we have a listener limerick requested by Liz, but that seems to be a frontal attack from several folks of the Baba server. Thank you guys for your support. You are all deeply silly, and I love you. If you, too, would like a silly slash slightly terrible slash arguably PG-13 limerick of your choice, check out ko-fi.com/backagainpodcast or the link in the description box. Again, this is for Liz about Kalia and Elias kissing. It's been the going response to every episode lately. While a Kalias kiss you do seek, right now that would probably reek. But the season's still young, so I'll keep my tongue firmly placed in my cheek. Lord, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, etc., etc., and thank you, Liz, to your support. Congrats on being the first limerick that's had to be defended. And now, on to the episode.
Back again, episode 10. Death at my hands.
The Frethim scrambled to put together an army to attack. They'd only been successful in their raid of the castle not because of my desperate signal to Iolo, but because the raid had been planned for months in advance in an attempt to steal the Book of Prophecy. They'd failed in that regard, but succeeded in almost every other. Bria's imprisonment had simply moved the timing up. Reactions were mixed. Many were desperate to find Leander, the true poet, and round out our ex et poeta et soldat, just as many were convinced that it was a trap, that Leander had not been found, that this was a honeypot, that my prometide, as Hast called him at the council held just a short while afterwards, had set up in order to lure us out and kill us all.
But not her, of course, Hast had purred. Rex Tyrannus wants his wife once again. To put her back into a cage with a sword in her hand. To kill more of us again.
I was invited to the meeting in the loose sense that Kalia did not kick me out when I sat down, and even then the implication was that I did not speak the duration. I spoke anyways.
I am not his, I snapped, the words ravenous and clear rising. I am not his. I will not kill for him.
Again, Hast said, eyes bright, a terrible smile on her face. You will not kill for him again.
Kalia stood, arms folded, face icy.
Correct. It should be noted that
the Elhida has volunteered to be the first in should we go. The Elhida has also said that she will kill the prince should she have the chance.
I froze. Every single drop of my blood going cold. For just a frantic second, I ran back over every single conversation I had had with Kalia, with Iolo, with Silas, with even Nat, trying to find the second I'd promised that what I'd said in clumsy Rhysaean could have been interpreted as that. I hadn't. I knew I hadn't. Someone tugged on my elbow, trying to make me sit again. It was Iolo. She shook her head. Not here, it meant. Don't confront Kalia. Not here. Not in this moment.
She is doing you a favor,
Iolo hissed as I stumbled down beside her.
Look around you. Look at those who were against you and the looks they send you now. If you kill the one they think you are for, they will not doubt you again.
I don't think I could.
Shh.
Iolo said. Don't even say it. The council continued. Calia, oddly, was overwhelmingly for breaking out Leander. I thought back on the conversation we'd had the first night in the barn and couldn't put together the why. She convinced them, though, that preliminary council, that preliminary vote. Those that are here, will we proceed for larger discussion? Yes, came the answer, despite the possibility of a trap. Yes, take the council further. The meeting disbanded. Despite all the people that had things to say to her, I broke towards Calia, dogging her steps as she broke free of the crowd. None of this made sense to me. Calia, I called. She did not turn. I'm busy, Elahidida. Rex, I snapped. Sold that, listen to me. She turned at that and laughed. Sorry? I wanted to say, have you changed your mind, but I didn't know how to fit that into Isaiah. I wanted to say, see, you turned. See, maybe you do believe in prophecies after all, or at the very least, know what these people call you when your back is turned. But that was too much, and I knew I would lose my thoughts and my verbs halfway through the sentence. I waited too long trying to parse words. She turned and kept walking. So, this, instead. You don't believe in the prophecy, though, I insisted, hounding after her, trying to keep up as she moved through the gathered people with ease. And yet you were the one that ventured upstairs to try and find the prophecy book back at the castle. You don't believe in Rex et Poeta et Soldat, and yet you are chomping at the bit trying to find Leander. Why? Why do you want to save them so badly? Does their life mean so little to you? Calia asked, very holier than thou. Elhidida, why are you not all over this? If you believe in the Arboreum so deeply. I am, I insisted, tripping over someone's foot and nearly crashing into her. I do. But why are you? Anything that weakens the tyrant kings is good for us, she said. What matters is that the people believe in the prophecy, and the kings are trying to sell a lie. Their story is weakened as long as Leander remains alive. She paused. And no one deserves to die. Especially not as a spectacle. Yes, I snapped. This was the segue I had needed. No one deserves to die. Her eyes darkened. It hadn't taken her but a second to parse what I'd meant. She'd been expecting this pushback. Tyrants and killers are the exception. She used the Rhysaean word, the schema, the one that fell closer to murderer. Tyrant, here, I said. Killer, here. And maybe you deserve to die too, Elhidida. But you are useful. And you are changing. I have heard that he will not change his ways. As long as he lives, there will never be peace. Then I struggled to find these words. To find them in a way that did not come across as a command or plea, but an offer. Calia huffed, impatient, and turned once more to go, but I reached out and caught her arm. Wait, I pleaded. I am trying to meet you in the middle here, I wanted to say. I am trying to prove to you that I am trying, but if I had taken the time to figure that one out in my head, I would have lost the important bit. One chance. one chance, I began. I understand why he should die. I could not, in that moment, fit why you think that he should into that sentence. I understand. I should kill him. I could not, in that moment, fit the reasons that you believe that I should into that sentence. But I ask, I would like one chance, one opportunity to talk, to try to show him reason. And if he declines, I wished that I could remember that stronger word, refuses, but it too was gone from my head, because declines, a polite word, had been the preferred one in the palace and thus the first one in my mind, and I could not risk hunting refuses and losing the tail end of this sentence. I will kill him. I will be the one to kill him. She stared at me for a long, long moment. One chance, she finally said. One chance. Then I will put the sword in your hands myself. I knew she could. I knew she was not lying. Gratinok, I said. One chance. One more chance to convince Cassian, or it would be the end of his life.
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan, and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that this world always tries to make you feel more alone than you truly are. There are people out there who will love you without condition or expectation, and you will find them. The light-soaked days are coming. I promise. You are so, so very loved. I hope you have a wonderful day.